Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are making our way through Galatians chapter 5, and Paul is just building here in this letter, and I want to encourage you, go and listen to the first episodes that we did this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and if you're listening to this at a different time, go listen to those as well, I think, because I think it's really a good way to build into what we're talking about, because he's going to talk about some things, and we began to talk about some things yesterday that Paul actually says, these things that keep you bound, they will actually not allow you, there are things that will not allow you to enter the kingdom of God. And so he's not, what we're going to get deeper into today is he's not just saying like, hey, this will help your life or this is just a good hobby. And I think even sometimes like with all of our devotions and all of our things, like, yes, it's so good and it makes us holy and that's amazing. But sometimes I think we can still treat holiness as just this hobby because we're not letting God see all of these places in our hearts. And the reality and the striking thing that the Holy Spirit is in this season of my life is stripping me of in so many ways. Pride, ego, lack of humility, these things that I'm clinging onto for comfort, the way that people see me, not wanting people to see my weaknesses, all of these different things that they're internal motivations that are a lack of security and trust in God, and they keep me not free. I'm acting in different places from a lack of interior freedom. And the Lord is giving each and every one of us grace. That it's not condemning. It's not saying, oh my gosh, Jesus died for you. Why are you not free? And I know me, that's a place of a lack of interior freedom because that's sometimes how I hear this stuff. I'm just like, oh, condemnation. I'm not there yet. This is so frustrating. All of these different things. But no, it's an invitation that the Lord is saying, there is freedom for you. There is liberty for the captives. And each and every one of us, it's a process in our own heart to open up and say, there are these places, big, small, all of these different places where we don't have interior freedom yet. Where we see ourselves in a twisted way, where we see God in a twisted way, where we see others in a twisted way, all of these different things. And God is saying, I want to give you this word, not to condemn you, not to make you feel bad, but to give you truth, because truth is the only thing that enlightens our hearts. Truth is the only thing that opens up our eyes to what we need, to where we need to go, to how we need to give ourselves over to God. And friends, the amazing and the encouraging thing that I'm taking to heart as the Lord does this, as he brings his truth more and more, and every day I pray that prayer from Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Do not let anything in me be unscrutinized or unfound. Do not let anything in me go unpurified. And as I'm praying that, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's doing it, and it's terrible. I don't want that to happen. I want to cling to those things that make me feel important, those things that make me feel secure. I want to cling on to my compulsions. I want to cling on to my false self because it protects me. And God comes in, and he's coming in for you, friends, because I know, even though I don't know you, I know you have those places as well. And I know it comes out in your work. I know it comes out in your family. I know it comes out in your relationship with God. And if you've been growing in freedom, I'm so happy for you. Thank God. But God comes with a powerful grace, and he does the work for us. We have to be open. And there's times for me as he's pressing on these places where he's like, you're not so free there. You're not so loving there. You're not so kind there. You're functioning out of a place of wounding there, is to want to say, okay, first, Lord, look at it. But then the second that his eyes are on it or somebody else's eyes are on it, I want to close up. I want to stop. I want to run away. I want to get hardened. I want to defend. I want to protect myself. And I think a word that God is speaking to you all today as we're entering into these things, because yesterday we began to look at this section of sin, this section of flesh that's saying, how am I separating myself from God? How am I putting trust in myself and not in God? And he's showing us these places, but he's saying, look with eyes of grace, look with eyes of determination to say, I'm safe with you. I'm secure with you. Root out whatever you need to root out in me. Please do it. Please, please, please do it. Asking him of that. So let's pray as we go into this next little section. And Lord, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we just ask you to give us the grace that we need. That we come to you right now, and there's, for many of us, there's places of wounding. There's places of pain. There's places that we're acting from. And Lord, I ask that right now you just give us the grace to not fight you, to not feel the need to protect ourselves against you, but to really be able to hear today in your word the works of the flesh that we need to put to death, not because of condemnation, not because of anger, not because of your hatred towards us, but because of your love for us, and that you will give us the strength to do it. And so, Lord, we ask for the grace of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and let's read. I'm going to start this time with verse 16, so 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we began to go over some of these, those first things, the sins of lust, the sins of the flesh. The sins of the flesh. What does that look like? And these are ways, it's sorcery, these different sins. And there's this category that's this vertical thing first about my relationship with God, where I'm looking for ways for God to, things to satisfy me apart from God. And the second is really this list of things that break apart relationships, these broken relationships. And that first one is so interesting because it's enmity, this idea, this enmity. And it's not just like, oh, this division, but enmity, and I just learned this in one of my classes because it talks about enmity in Genesis chapter 3, where it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And he's talking to the snake. Total and radical opposition is the definition of enmity. And this enmity between the woman and the devil and between their seeds, that there will be total and radical opposition between Mary and between the devil, between Jesus and between evil that he destroys. So he's saying, what's a fruit of the flesh? Enmity, total and radical opposition to each other, strife, like this hardness in relationships, this suffering in relationships, jealousy, wanting what other people have, looking at who other people are, looking at their gifts and talents, looking at what God's given them and saying, I want that. And not saying I want that in a way of like, oh, I want to be like them. But jealousy produces hatred, anger. Not like being justified and justly angry at something, but being in a place where we're saying, you know what, like I'm actually responding badly and a seed of hatred is growing in my heart. Selfishness, being selfish, looking for our own interests before the interests of others. Dissension, division in communities, party spirit. This is not like having a drink, you know, or having fun. This is a spirit of carousing, of rowdiness that's actually disordered. Envy. So these things, breaking it down, comparison, rivalry, resentment, division, us versus them thinking. Sin doesn't just harm individuals. It fractures community. So it's not just like, oh God, I'm looking for things in other places. Those places when I act out of a place of my wounding, when I'm going to someone else and I'm acting out of a place of a lack of interior freedom, where I'm submitting to a yoke of slavery and what that looks like, then I'm actually affecting other people. I'm in a place where I'm hurting them. I'm fracturing communion. When I gossip, I fracture the communion of the entire community. And so sin just does, it harms our relationships. And so how am I harming relationships? Drunkenness, carousing, and the like, this category of escapism and numbing, when desire misfires and relationships break down, we numb the ache. It's not celebration, it's escaping. So again, we said this last time, these things, this pattern of life that pulls you inward, isolates you from love, replaces trust with control, numbs instead of heals, it belongs in this category. And what's intense, he says, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to be clear, we're not talking about the occasional failure, but we're talking about continuing to live under a master that is not Christ. And these things that he's saying, it's like we can understand murder, we can understand even lust, we can understand disordered sexual sin, we can understand idolatry, but then it's like selfishness. Okay, wait, this is kind of getting into me. You know, it's like, oh, I don't practice witchcraft. I'm not like participating in all these crazy sexual sins. I've never killed anybody, you know, all this kind of stuff. But then it's like, oh, causing division in relationships, jealousy, envy, anger, enmity, radical opposition, strife in relationships, selfishness. It's like, oh, wait, that actually applies to me. That actually applies to sometimes how I show up in community. Out of places of pain, out of places of wounding. And God is saying, there's a freedom there for you because those things will dominate you and they will become your master. And I think there's a way that we kind of say now with all like the healing stuff, we're like, well, it became my master, but like I was wounded and I was acting out of a place of wound, so I can't control it. I can't control how I'm not responding, so I'm not culpable. And the Lord is saying, he's saying, there's freedom here for you. Look, I'm showing you. I'm showing you how you can show up in a different way. I'm showing you how you can submit to grace. But if your wounds or your insecurities or even your trauma keeps you stuck in a place where you're submitting to a master that is not Christ, he's saying there is a chance that you will not enter the kingdom of God. There is a chance that you will not enter the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to say it's to not this shouldn't scare you. It should scare you. Not in a way of like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get out of this, but it should put the fear of the Lord in you, because God's delight is in the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord motivates us to say, God is holy and he set out these things that if I live under this master, it's bad for me, but I will not be able to coexist in heaven with God who is holy. And so God, show us, search our hearts, scrutinize us. Truly, St. John of the Cross talks about this. He says, purify. He says, I have so many hidden sins hidden under the veil of being a monk. God, search me and know me. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about these good things, the fruits of the Spirit that God wants to put in you and I. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.